T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, 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 Ken Hamilton is with us. Haven't seen him in a couple of weeks. Good to have you aboard, Ken Hamilton.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Are you Elvis? Are you trying out for the Elvis lookalike contest?
Oh, yeah, I look like Elvis.
You ain't nothing but a hound dogger.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, I look more like the hound dog than Elvis.
Now, we were talking about the Michael Jackson documentary on HBO. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Well, that kind of cuts down that conversation, doesn't it?
Well, the thing of it is that I have never, ever, ever in my life been a Michael Jackson's fan. My sister was, my younger sister, she's 3 years younger than I am, and when Michael Jackson was coming into fame, she had that kid's face postered, plastered up in every room, and
That's where he was. If you liked him, you loved him. There was always questions swirling around him, and there were always excuses as answers for those questions. And a couple of times he went to on trial for them. He got acquitted. And one of our texters says, yes, he was acquitted. I can't understand why, and I can't understand taking a chance of letting your 7-year-old son sleep in a bedroom with Michael Jackson, who is a grown man. So at least this texter has more common sense than that kid's parents. The special features like two children. There were a lot more than that. But what he did is he isolated them, showered them with celebrity. And imagine you're a kid, you're born and raised in a regular little house, and all of a sudden, Michael Jackson, the biggest star in the world, points you out, and he's your friend. And you almost think of him the way the kid described him now as an adult. He almost thought of him as his father. And so he was on that fast track, as fast as the track gets, on all these things, on private jets and hotel suites and big stages. And then he put him in a show, letting him dance in his show. And so there was no end to it. But the parents should have seen that. I've got to come down hard on the parents. I don't think there's any excuse for those parents not recognizing these danger signs. And now with I think we're much more aware of child abuse, and abuse comes in a lot of different forms, not just celebrity.
You know, and the salient thing that you said is that the kid looked at him as though it was his father.
Right.
Which means that we have to take a look at how the kid actually saw his father, because, you know, I'm a Dale Carnegie graduate. I don't know if you know what the Dale Carnegie course is.
Yes, I do. How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, well, I skipped that part.
How to get people to walk away from you quickly.
You know, as a matter of fact, and during the third week, they called me out of class, took me down to the cafeteria, and I says, oh, God, what did I do wrong this time? And the woman, Donna Drake, she was the one out of Lockport who was doing the course, she says, I just have a question for you. And I says, yeah, what's your question? She says, what are you doing here? She said, you don't need this.
Yeah, people like to have their words mean something. But with Michael Jackson, it was, I think, a subliminal acceptance that, yeah, okay, I'll let this go on because look at this. Look at our life now. And then if we don't have this, we got to go back to just being regular people. Nothing wrong with that.
But and that is it. And this is where the Dale Carnegie story comes in. There is no such, there are no such things as regular people. Because when we begin to think that everybody else thinks like we think, then it becomes incumbent upon us to try our best to think like they think in order to understand where this thinking came from. And so when the kid could look at Michael Jackson as though it was his father, then we have to begin to look first at the relationship between the kid and his father.
And his father.
What was his father doing?
Well, Ed, the documentary didn't show that it was an antagonistic relationship. It didn't show him, the father, being nasty or mean or a drunk or alcoholic or anything like that. It seemed like a normal relationship, but the father can't compete in a seven-year-old's mind with Michael Jackson.
Well, no one can. My kid, when he was in first grade, had me drop him off a block before the elementary school. At that age, they don't want to be seen with
their father. Yeah. My daughter ran away from me in a mall when I was emceeing a fashion show because she didn't want to be seen.
Was that 3 years ago?
That was the weirdest thing, because she and her girlfriend wanted a ride. I was doing a fashion show at the mall. They wanted a ride to be at the mall, and they were old enough to go to the mall, certainly. I said, okay, but remember, I'm done doing the fashion show at a certain time. Okay, so as I'm about to wrap up, I see she and her girlfriend are there. They're sitting in a row, a few rows away. I get done, and I start walking toward them, and the closer I get to them, the further away they run. And it looks to somebody that didn't know that, like, here's Sandy Beach, a grown man chasing a 14-year-old girl and her friend. So I had to explain to her that that's not the way we have to do that. So,
but in Dale Carnegie, what they taught was, if you want to bridge a relationship with someone, you have to agree with where they are to understand where they are, so that you're not imputing what your thoughts are to them. The classic thing is, I know how you feel, because if I were you, I would feel the same way. Because I would, based upon your nature and your nurture. All of the things that you've gone through in life, what your very nature is, all of these things is what makes you and makes you unique.
Isn't it human nature, though, to want people to agree with you? I mean, if you had a grilled cheese sandwich today and you saw Tony tomorrow, you'd say, Tony, yesterday I had the best grilled cheese. You got to try it. You got to try the grilled cheese that I think is the best. And we want to give people an insight into our lives and how we're giving them a tip on where to get that grilled cheese sandwich. And you get further down, how to think, how to vote. I mean, it's a natural
thing.
Absolutely.
Your religion and all of those things come
sure.
into. But that's not everyone. There are people on the other side of the equation, is that I don't want you to know anything about me.
Secretive.
Anything that I got, you know, I mean, I don't want you to know anything about
me. You mean like Greg Reed, our general manager? He leads a secretive yacht-like love life.
No, but you know, it's I'm not sharing anything. I don't want you to. we need a camera in here. Where's Rush's camera? You know, there are people who don't want you to be better than them. And if they gave you an idea that is equal to theirs, then it intimidates these people. But the point is that there are all kinds of people who have gone through all types of situations. Yes, what Michael Jackson did was terrible. But we excuse, you know, what he did was, it was really, really terrible. But we excuse transgenders, we excuse people who perform abortions, we drug users, alcoholics, and all of these people. To some point, we'll say that there is something in their mind that caused them to do it. This, you've got to know, something was seriously wrong with Michael Jackson. I don't think Michael Jackson was ever developed past 7 years old.
And look, we'll take a break, but look who indulged him, not only his audience, his doctors, doctors who should absolutely not be starstruck and who should know what's the better thing to do.
And what did all of those people have in common? Because Jackson was giving them a lot of money.
Money, honey. We'll take a break and be back on News Radio 930 WBN. Ken Hamilton is with us, and we're talking about the Michael Jackson HBO special documentary on the life of Michael Jackson and the allegations, and we have to keep adding that in, of the way he led his life regarding small boys. And the primary one that was interviewed was 7 years old. After him was Macaulay Culkin, after Macaulay Culkin was another one. There were a long string of them. And to show you what kind of a Svengali effect he had on these kids, the kids would deny up and down, backwards, forwards, that nothing happened, nothing. And now we finally get one who is an adult who came to grips with what really did happen. And it's pretty sad, pretty pathetic. Ken, I was talking with you about, we always want to convince people of what we believe in, what we think, what we like. We're trying to turn them on to, this is the best car, this is the best cheeseburger, or whatever. So that's natural. But this was such a distinct difference from the kid's life, but yet he taught the kid how to dance at the age of 7. And they mention in this documentary that people project their lives onto their kids. They say it happens a lot with sports, where people want their kid to play sports because they just read about some big contract signed, or maybe they were good at sports, so they want their kid to be good at sports, stuff like that. We project all these things onto our kids, but we should be wise enough to understand that these are aspirations, but you can't give up your life in order to follow them. This was pretty obvious what was going on, and the parents just never put it to an end.
And there again, like you're saying, what retrojections, I guess, where now we're going to let the kids, we're going to live through our kids vicariously. Is that what the kid wanted to do, was to be with Michael Jackson? Or is it the parent who wanted to be like the kid to be like Michael Jackson?
That's good. I think both of those are the answer. Because the kid was a natural dancer. And Michael Jackson put him in a show. Whereas at one number, he might have 3 or 4 young boys, really young boys, like 7, dancing. And he could dance. He looked like a natural dancer on stage. So maybe they thought, wow, with this connection, my son could be the next Michael Jackson, or certainly an important person on a stage dancing.
So then how different were the parents of those kids than the mothers of these, you know, little
beauty
pageant queens,
same
princesses?
Thing.
Right, and so who is sick, the kid, or is it, who's culpable, rather?
The JonBenet Ramsey theory. You know, they put her in all these beauty contests, had a terrible ending. But yeah, they want to project their kids as being something special.
And then whatever happened to Benet Ramsey?
She died.
By whose hand?
We don't know.
And who was most culpable or in the position to have done that the most?
A lot of people look at the father or the mother.
Yeah, there you go. And so when you start to look at these things in reverse, was it the father and the mother of these kids in the Jackson case that was putting these things? Where did these kids at 7 years old hear about Michael Jackson? They didn't hear about it in kindergarten or anything.
No, Michael Jackson was everywhere. He's multimedia. I mean,
a lot of things was
shows,
everywhere.
Radio.
But why did they choose that? And again, parents have to take the responsibility in situations like that.
Of course they do.
Because not only did they biologically create that kid, they emotionally created that kid, and went through and the things through which Jackson had gone through. Well, then, you know, he was very, very emotionally harmed by his own parents. So we go back and say, well, what was his father really like? You know, and by them opening up this lawsuit against a company that has as much money as they do, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be dragged out of that closet. And it might be of more harm to Jackson's legacy than the actual charge of it.
Look who is willing, and we see it in more than one case. Doctors willing to do whatever their celebrity client wants. 2 good examples. Michael Jackson died because of it, and Elvis Presley died because of it. Those are 2 of the biggest stars we've ever had on the planet.
They were great.
And because nobody really stood in or stood up to them for their own good. Nobody dared to if they wanted to keep working for them. So they were willing to put the celebrity, all the fun and stuff that goes with it, the money that goes with it, they were willing to throw that all aside, and eventually their clients and their friend and their stars died because of it.
And they could have gotten, well, but how could they, you know, the thing of it is that I could not have been, think as the doctor had thought, because I've never gone to medical school, nor had the nature and nurture of his life. But we have to begin to wonder about all of those people that gravitated around him, around Jackson, and Jackson felt comfortable enough for them to be there. How much like them was Jackson? In your earlier example, where you said about the grilled cheese sandwich, man, this was great. You're going to try to attract somebody else with this cheese sandwich. for your own personal affirmation, so that you can, you know, reinforce the fact that it was indeed a great grilled cheese sandwich. Do we not do those things in a lot of different ways? We're looking for the affirmation of things that we're not quite sure of in other people, and we attract those people around us that actually give us that affirmation.
Well, the doctors around people like Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley are the enablers. They're the ones that know what drugs they want, and they know, for instance, rock stars don't have a normal life in many ways. They don't get a normal amount of sleep.
No.
They're traveling all the time.
Yep.
They have people around them that are all yes men and yes women. That's all there is to it. They're adored by fans. They don't know how to deal with all of this, so they need a little help sleeping, so you give them some of this. Maybe they're showing signs that they should be hospitalized, but you don't want to do it because they're on tour now or they're in the middle of cutting a new album. Yeah. But meanwhile, when and why did we give all of these people like that the get-out-of-jail-free card? Yeah, they can do all that, but do they have a right to abuse 7-year-old kids?
No, they don't have a right to abuse 7-year-old kids. But are they criminal?
They do it.
Are they criminal or mentally criminal? Or, you know, on all of these different nuances of a homicide being a murder, or is it a manslaughter, 1, 2, 3, all of these other things. And we have to make sure that we put these in the right category.
I'm sure the parents of this kid, because they were featured extensively in this documentary, I'm sure they didn't consciously say, gee, I'll let go on whatever is going on because I kind of like what we're doing now and where we're going now.
I agree.
They didn't do that.
Conscious decision.
But what they did is the sin of omission. It wasn't a sin of commission. In other words, stop it. It was the sin of not saying stop it. It was the omission of let it go a little further, a little further. Well, it must be okay. You know, he's such a nice guy, and he has a chimpanzee, for crying out loud.
That ought to have been a clue.
His own amusement. Yeah, his Bubbles the chimp. I mean, really, is his friend. They didn't make that decision. It's a hard decision to make, but you got to make it. I think they should have been charged at the time with child neglect and the child taken away and brought to a proper family.
Well, in New York State, with the way the legislation is going, if it happened here, they can still be charged. If not now, then that's the next iteration of the laws that we're
passing. Maybe there's something good about New York State. Thank you for bringing it up. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, that's Ken Hamilton playing the I've Got the Niagara Falls USA Blues.
You might think that it's all misty in here, but I feel like I'm floating around at the bottom of an empty bottle of beer.
And don't hate me because I'm beautiful. We are back. That's good, Tony. I like that.
I'd have some blues every now and then.
That is good. I really do like that.
And I think that's why they call it the blues.
That's why they call it the blues. That would be a good song title, Ken.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Now, let me talk to Elton John. He might be interested in a song.
Yeah. Now, you did not see the special, but a lot of people did, and a lot of people are commenting on it, and a lot of people are repulsed. But some people, let me ask you this, is this legitimate? In fact, we even had a couple of texts, they're way down in the stack now, so I can't take them out, but said, why are they bothering with this now all these years after he's died? Why didn't they get involved while it was happening? Maybe the information wasn't available while it was happening, because I'm sure if they had enough to do this show in real time when it was happening, they would have done it because it would have been a blockbuster.
You're absolutely right, Sandy.
Sandy. Sandy, I'm Sandy. I used to be somebody else, but I'm Sandy now. See how quickly they forget, Tony? A couple of weeks off, he comes in, wanders in, doesn't know whose show it is. That's the way it goes, yes.
Well, you have to remember, one of the guys in the documentary not only didn't say anything about it, was on the Michael Jackson defense team in 2004 and said he hung out with Michael Jackson as a kid and nothing out of the ordinary happened.
And Macaulay Culkin said, and he was part of that too, and he said nothing happened.
But are they telling the truth?
Well, we don't know. But the point is, these kids were so committed to Michael Jackson. I don't even know if they thought what was going on was that wrong. But even if they did, they were not willing to throw him under the bus.
Well, yeah. Is what they're saying true? Are they protecting themselves from some embarrassment?
That could be too.
That, as a matter of fact, during the course of the show earlier on, you had an attorney out of New York telling people now that you could come sue the people with money because of the new legislation.
Yeah.
Our entire moral system has changed in just a few years.
It's almost like a game show. What can you get?
Absolutely. And now that you have all of these opportunities to go and sue people and get the money that you might not have gotten back then, you know, where is Macaulay Culkin at now?
He is one screwed up guy. I can tell you that. Whether Michael Jackson did it or he just came that way.
All right. Let's say that he is one screwed up guy today. What wasn't he then? What is he there now that he wasn't then?
We don't know. All we know is we liked him in the movie.
Well, yeah.
That's all we know.
And that's right, because he was putting on a show.
Yeah.
Now, if he says nothing unusual happened, then what was usual to him back
unusual,
then?
Unusual, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, they have a different code there. Did Beamer see this? I'm trying to remember if I talked to him about it or not. If he did, I'd like his opinion, too. Joe, did you see the special?
I did. I saw it on Sunday. They released both segments on the HBO app.
And that's what I saw. I saw both at once. So, all right, give me your thumbnail thought of the situation.
It's tough to sit through because nothing is left to the imagination, Sandy.
Nothing.
I mean, as you know, I mean, it is very graphic detail. And, hey, I am a huge fan of Michael Jackson's music. But you listen to this and you see the emotion in the faces as they're telling the story. It's tough to think. I mean, hey, we all saw Jussie Smollett in his interview, but it's tough to think everything they're saying, that this is some kind of made-up story. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's tough to watch.
It's almost like as they grew up, because now they're grown up, they came to realize what had happened when they were younger, and they didn't really realize it then. They were just caught up in it.
I mean, it is really, really tough to sit through, and as someone told you, it's tough to sleep after watching it. I mean, the stories, it's sad, it's scary.
One of our female employees said that she watched it and she was so moved by it, she couldn't sleep. Now, that takes a lot. That takes a lot. It takes something, as I said earlier, like a Schindler's List, some magnificent story that you did not know. To be told to have that kind of an impact on you.
The only thing I say after watching this documentary, and hey, we don't know these people. We're not them. We don't know their situation. Is that maybe they should not? Maybe they should have come out during the 2004 trial and said, "Hey, this is what happened." And given the testimony while Michael Jackson was still alive, we have a Facebook commenter that I kind of agree with. This would carry more weight if it was something while he was alive. Now he's gone. He's not here to defend himself. You know what I mean? Like, I just wish that they would have come out in 2004 when he was on trial.
Well, the adults who were adults at the time this was happening around his inner circle, there's no way in hell they didn't know something was going on. And they could process it. A kid going through that can't process it. It's too overwhelming. It's like watching the A-bomb blast and looking at it without glasses or protection. It's too out there. But the ones around Michael Jackson who are Michael Jackson's age or as adults, they should have recognized it too. But nobody blew them in. There were no disgruntled employees. Nothing like that. I don't know how that happens with all those people around him all the time and not getting nailed.
It's just the kind of thing. It's obviously tough for me or any of us to say because we weren't in that situation. It's just, you know, these kids, they were in their early 20s in 2004. I just wish that's when they would have come out, done it on trial, and then maybe Michael wouldn't have gotten away in 2004 like he did.
But you know as well as I do, wait a minute, hold it. You know as well as I do, if they had, Michael Jackson had such an aura around him that people would have said, oh, they're jealous of him, they're racist, who knows what. They would have found 1,000 excuses why the accusations weren't true.
And well, let's talk about that aura around him for a second. Forget about the aura around Michael Jackson himself, but what about the aura of the people that were around Michael Jackson that made money off of this?
Sure.
And what kind of threats would they have said to these people? If you tell anybody, you're ruining my income. And if you do that, then Jackson won't come after you and your parents and your folks, but I might.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that made a lot of money on him.
Absolutely. And these people were not always good people.
No. The record business?
The concert business? Absolutely.
You got to be kidding me. Obviously. All right, we'll take a break on News Radio 930. This is WBEN. Trying to convince Ken Hamilton to go on our next trip because seeing the places we're going to see from a luxury cruise ship isn't like seeing them from a battleship or whatever you want.
I tell you, my little warship, USS Farragut, cost a heck of a whole lot more than that cruise ship did.
Oh, I bet it did. I bet it did. Yeah, military is kind of sparse on the luxury items.
Well, no. You guys could go to your porthole windows or out on deck, and you could see the shore. Through our radars, we could see miles in land. And if there's going to be a fight between a cruise ship and a warship, which ship would you want to be on?
You'll take the warship.
Give me those 8 torpedoes. I think,
Tony, we should get him to do it because he rose in rank in the Navy. It would be nice to have you on the bridge with the captain of the Viking ship.
Thinking about this one because I've always wanted to go to Norway. I have friends in Norway.
It'd be fun. It's going to be a good trip.
Yeah, they would. I mean, they'd come down to the port to see me. And that would be great. But this the only places that you're talking about, it's the only place that I've not been to. And what I want to do is go to places where I've never been.
Well, and seriously, if you've been there in the Navy, it'd be different than now. So you get a different perspective. I think you'd love it. You'd have a good time. The food's great. 24-hour room service, Ken.
I know, but what's the service in those rooms? You mentioned the food. I know Tony's getting excited about that.
Yeah, he's signing up right
but
now.
But Beamer's over there, and he's thinking about other kind of service.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye on him. Okay, first of all, before we say goodbye today, and we got a few minutes, what the hell's going on in Washington? Have they all lost their mind? I mean, every day I turn the radio on or the TV or read the paper or anything, it seems it's so surreal that it doesn't seem like it's possible. When you get somebody like Jerry Nadler comes out and says, we're going to investigate everything. Now, if you were in a court of law and the questioning got off of the specific reason you are being charged with something,
right.
the judge
objection.
Would the judge would absolutely not allow the testimony.
That's
yet
right.
We allow Jerry Nadler. You all notice all these morons come from New York State? All of these.
Well, no. You know, let's put that back into perspective.
The morons most of the morons?
The morons that we notice the most are the ones
friends
who are closest to us. Right. Yeah,
So you got a guy there that he couldn't do that if he was in a court of law. It's called a fishing expedition. So they want to go in and investigate everything. Now, obviously, if he's committed crimes, we want to know about it. But they have no evidence of anything. They don't have any proper cause. They don't have any advanced information. He says, we want to go in there and learn everything.
Uh-huh.
When did this sort of behavior be acceptable?
When you stop getting people at the FBI like J. Edgar Hoover would also be investigating you.
Yeah. Well, J. Edgar Hoover had a file on everybody.
Everybody.
The reason he...
And that's why government worked, because then they had to be concerned with governing.
File on his dress, on his dressmaker. Yeah, especially his dressmaker. He didn't want to give away his size. But the bottom line is it's getting nuts, because I always thought we're protected by the rule of law. There's procedures that there's firewalls and everything. Now it's just, no, this is what we're going to do. So they're going to spend 2 years And at the end of 2 years, when his term is up, they're still not going to have anything. And when he runs again, then they'll keep it going with a new Congress.
You know, but the thing of it is, American law is premised upon the morality of Christianity, that there is somebody who's watching you that's greater than the law. When you take that away and elect somebody to go to Washington or to Albany or to Buffalo or Lockport or down to your local city hall, they without that morality in there, and it doesn't have to necessarily be Christian, but it has to be make you believe that there is something out there that is greater than everything else, and you're going to have to hold yourself accountable to that. That is the basis of law. Take that away and then put somebody in that place, they begin to think that they are God.
Let me tell you something. You could do the kind of investigation that Nadler and before him, Mueller or whoever else was before him, do on anybody and come up with something.
Absolutely. Betty Crocker with...
I liked her cakes.
She
had nice cakes.
With Uncle Ben, you know. There's evidence of that, you know, because you look in the box
wait
of
a minute,
rice.
Wait a minute. Why did you pick a nice white girl like Betty Crocker? Huh?
Because you would have never suspected her.
Did you have a bad cupcake something growing up or something? I don't understand that. No, what?
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. So yeah. Then... was it the juxtaposition?
Juxtaposition.
Juxtaposition of her.
English your second language? Press two.
Okay, we'll say.
Juxtaposition.
Because we won't say Betty Crocker, we'll say Mrs. Buttersworth.
Oh, she's married there again,
and she comes
another,
in a brown
Tony,
bottle.
Tony, another white woman.
No, what she's in a brown bottle. What are you talking about?
She's a brown bottle, but she's a white woman.
How do you know that?
I mean, well, I think she is.
Just leave little Debbie alone.
Oh, little! Don't you go after little Debbie snack cakes? Now they're really in trouble if you do that.
You know, this show is just degraded, and
you'll notice it happened when you showed up. No, I always took great comfort in the fact that there are firewalls. You can only go so far, and then you'd have to go to the next level, get permission to do that. Back and forth, some evidence not included because it wasn't obtained properly, all that. I took great pride in that because that's how we're built. Now it's just any loudmouth yahoo that wins an election in a two-bit town now is all of a sudden the latest expert on something.
And especially if they could get reelected three or four times and gain seniority, sit on top of different committees, and then head up those committees.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It was like in that first FERC, FERC, Federal Energy Something Commission, Regulatory Commission, when you licensed the Robert Moses plant, we were sending electricity to the TVA, or the credits of electricity to the TVA in Tennessee, the Tennessee Valley Authority. How does that happen? Well, it's because it's international waters, and therefore the guy who's the chairperson of FERC got to get their piece. I mean, and it's nothing new. Here's what's happening. We have the technology today to get additional information that we didn't have in the past. But we have not connected that information with any wisdom, any logic, any reasoning, and thinking from the person from where we are that this is wrong, and it is wrong. But if you get at that level, you begin to think all of these things are right. Like Senator Hayakawa when he was elected. This was back in the 70s. One another senator comes up and says, I can't wrap my mind around all of the billions of dollars that we're about to spend. And Hayakawa said to them, then don't think of them as billions. Just think of a billion as one. You know. And then we're only talking about $5 here.
Yeah, and it's cheap.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we have the money problems.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's disturbing to me to see all this happen because they seem to have eliminated all the rules that we always live by. They don't apply anymore. So you want to go on a fishing expedition as the head of the committee? You can do it.
That's right.
You can just do it. You can find out how much they paid for his first pair of shoes.
Hey, Nancy Pelosi's plane ride where Trump says, well, you're not getting the plane.
Yeah. Thank God. You know, they're just so used to having everything at the snap of a finger.
And well, you say the rules we used to go by, the rules that we thought we used to go by, that they had always secretly broken.
Break my heart, Ken. Come in here. Dash my dreams.
You're not, Sandy. I'm going to tell you the truth. Bernadette is in here, and we're both sitting across from a dream.
That's true. And you know something you don't know about Bernadette.
How's that?
She has a particular set of skills. I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Wraps it up. All right. Why don't we raise some money and we'll all go on this trip? What do you think?
Count me in and Joe as well.
Yeah. Joe could be the, let's see. I'm trying to think of a nice word for it. The paid attendant, somebody that would dance with your homely girlfriend.
Well, wait a minute. I'm looking for somebody to go on the trip with me, a roommate. So if any of you women out there who want to pay for the entire trip,
oh, a roommate.
I'm in.
A roommate, yeah. We'll need one who has... No, I can't even say that. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 on News Radio 930 WBN.
Elvis has left the building.
Oh, I wish we never had to leave the beach.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.